preach to us, brother. We love you.
Appreciate you, preacher. Well, it is a joy to be here. I'm certainly honored to stand in this place. I appreciate the Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting, one of the greatest meetings that I know of anywhere. And the thing I love about it, everything here is done with a spirit of excellence. I go in a few places, they could use a dose of that. But I appreciate that. I appreciate the music. Outstanding music in this camp meeting. And I appreciate that. Brother Jordan, I believe he hit a Pentecostal lick on that organ a minute ago. But I liked it, praise the Lord. But amen, I appreciate the music, the singing. I appreciate all the workers, those who do everything from parking to cooking meals. It's a great undertaking, a meeting like this, but only heaven will reveal what it's done to help God's men and God's people along the way. Certainly worth investing in these days. It's been an honor to preach with Brother Winkler this week. I have great respect for his ministry, for the touch of God that he preaches with. It's a great blessing to me, just an honor for me to be in the same meeting with a preacher like Brother Winkler. And I know you've enjoyed him. And Brother Dagenhart describing me in the most eloquent terms, he told you that I'm weird. Some of them being real kind called me unique, but it's just, I'm just a little bit odd. But that's all right. And Brother Winkler said last night I could take a chewing gum paper and a Bible and preach a message, and I've taken that as a challenge. I hadn't come up with anything yet, preacher, but when I do, I'll let it go. But anyway, I appreciate God makes us all different, and God uses his men. Yeah, everybody's got a role to play, and I trust that we've been a blessing and help to you in these meetings. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of John chapter 21, St. John chapter 21. And I want to give you this simple little thought tonight and hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. St. John chapter number 21. I appreciate the Partain family. I hadn't seen them in a while. Brother Carl and the family, tremendous folks. And the Rogers family, tremendous music as well. I appreciate families who sing together. What a blessing it is. John chapter 21. And I want to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help me for just a few moments in this little message. God, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us tonight through your word. Encourage your people tonight. I pray, God, you'd encourage every pastor, every preacher, every missionary, Lord, every worker in the church tonight in this place. Help us to be that we ought to be for you, Father. And we'll give you praise for all you do, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the scene, we find that Jesus has shown himself to his disciples. This is the third time since he raised from the dead. And the Bible said for some reason Peter decided he was going to go back to fishing. And the Bible said that when he declared that, some of the others said, "We'll go with you." And they got in a ship and they went out that night and they fished all night long and hadn't caught anything. And the scene in the morning is they're there in the boat, an empty boat, no doubt weary and cold. And really it was a bad idea to have a fishing trip when you don't catch anything all night long. But the Bible said in the morning as the day's beginning to break, there's somebody on the shore that calls out to them and asks them a simple question. "Children, do you have any meat?" In other words, do you have any of what you're looking for? Do you have any in the boat of what you're looking for? And the Bible said they didn't come with a real long answer. It's just a simple, lonesome no that came echoing back over the water. The Bible said Jesus then told them, said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find." I can imagine they're in the boat. They're thinking, "I don't know who that is telling us how to fish. We know how to fish." But it's called, the Bible said they didn't know it was Jesus at this time. All of a sudden they said, "Well, what we got to lose?" They cast the net on the right side, and all of a sudden they pull in a miraculous catch of fish. Matter of fact, the Bible said 153 great fish. I'm talking about, and here they are pulling it in, and all of a sudden that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, looked at Peter and said, "Peter, it's the Lord." You still got them two crowds in your church. One crowd, when the Lord shows up, knows it's him. And the other crowd's like Peter. Somebody has to tell him it is. He said, "It's the Lord." And Peter got so excited when he heard it was the Lord that he girded his fisher's coat to him. And he jumped in the water and he swam to shore. What I really want to get to is where what Peter found when he got to the shore. The Bible said over there, and in the scripture that I've read, the Bible said in verse number 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread." Matter of fact, somebody has cooked a meal. I don't know if this is so or not, and some of you that know more about the word than I do, but this might be the only recorded place in the Bible where Jesus cooked a meal. Now, he took a little boy's loaves and fishes and break them, but somebody done cooked breakfast. And Jesus is on the... I'm interested in if Jesus is cooking. I'm interested in pulling up to the table. And the Bible said that when they came to shore, they looked and they saw fish and on the coals and bread. And the Bible, Jesus said, "Bring the fish you've caught." And then he said, "Come and dine, boys." Amen. Pull up to the table. The meal is prepared. I do a lot of traveling. Of course, I preach all over the country. And of course, when you live that lifestyle, finding places to eat's not easy, because most time you can't eat before you go preach. And late, you know what it's like, preacher. Late at night, you're starved to death. And you eat a lot of gas station food and all that good healthy stuff like drive-thrus at McDonald's and all that good. It ain't no wonder we all fat, or at least I am anyway, because late at night you can't find a good meal. But I found that in my travels there is one restaurant that is a favorite of mine that doesn't matter what time you go there, you can get a hot meal. It's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and never closes. It's a place called the Waffle House. Now, it's not a fancy restaurant. It's not fine dining or anything like that, but I'll tell you this right now. Late at night when you're hungry and need a hot meal, you sure are glad when you see that sign that says Waffle House is open. I even read that there's an urban legend that they don't have locks on the doors. Because why would you need a lock on the door if you're never closed?
365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and you're always open. I got to thinking about that. I was in the High Point camp meeting. I was preaching down there in High Point Baptist camp meeting last year, and they had me staying at a hotel. And I was back there after the meeting one night. It was late. I was hungry. And I went over there, and there was a Waffle House right beside my hotel. Didn't even have to drive to it. I could walk to it. I said, that's the perfect will of God right there. I got in there, and I sat down. I ordered my meal. I got to looking over the clientele in the Waffle House that night. And I had a moment of inspiration at the Waffle House. I'm glad God can talk to you at the church house, but He can talk to you at the Waffle House too. I began to look around, and I said, wouldn't it be great if the church was like the Waffle House? I'm preaching on that subject, and it's not a chewing gum paper, but I am preaching on the subject on a Waffle House church tonight. You say, preacher, what are you? I'm talking about the Lord's table. Jesus looked at them, and He said, boys, come and dine. I got to thinking about the welcome they received to His table. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's company policy for the people at Waffle House. I knew it happened to me every time I went there, but it's company policy that when somebody walks through the door, don't matter how busy they are, they may be covered up. As soon as they see you, somebody calls out, welcome to Waffle House. I said, boy, wouldn't it be good if the church was like that? Boy, I tell you what, we're living in a world where people need to feel the welcome at the Lord's table. I'm glad tonight that there is a God that's still telling this cold and hungry world, come on to the table. I've got what you need, hallelujah. You're welcome at the Waffle House. I got to looking around that night, and I saw the crowd that was in there. Some were locals, you could tell. Some were like me, traveling. I looked over in one booth, and there's an African-American man sitting over there in a booth. Over here's a Mexican-looking boy sitting in a booth. Next to me was a boy sitting there that had tattoos all over him and earrings, and he's sitting there at the table, and here I sit in a suit and tie. I said, hallelujah. Every one of them had a place at the table. I'm glad ties and tattoos both are welcome at the Waffle House. I don't know about you, praise God, we're living in a culture that has scarred themselves with the marks of this world. And I'm afraid sometimes we look down on them and we say, you know what, we don't need them kind of people in our church. But I got news for you. Jesus died for that old boy with tattoos. Jesus died for that old pierced up boy. Jesus died for him. They have a soul that needs to be saved. Amen. Oh, yeah. I went to a graveside service last year. A man I knew that had died, and I was going to pay my respects, and I knew when I was going that probably a lot of the crowd that was going to be there wouldn't be a church crowd. I got there early to the cemetery, and the hearse hadn't gotten there yet. I walked up. There were people milling around there, and I didn't really know anybody. And all of a sudden, when I walked up, there was a young man called my name. And I looked at him, and I didn't know him. I thought, well, maybe he's heard me in a church somewhere, and he knows me, and I don't know him. He said, Brother Leonard, he said, you don't know me, do you? I looked at him. I had to be honest. I said, no, I don't. You're going to have to tell me where I know you from. He said, well, he said, really, last time you saw me, I was about 7 or 8 years old. He's 30 years old now. And he called his name, and I said, great day in the morning. It is you. He looked at me. I could tell he was carrying the scars. I could tell he'd had a hard row in life. I asked him, I said, man, how you doing? What you? I didn't know you was even living here now. He looked at me and he said, well, he said, really, I'm trying to get my life together. So I'm trying to get my life together. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. What's going on? He said, you don't know any of this, but he said, I ended up getting addicted to drugs. He said, I spent actually about 4 years in prison. He said, I've just got out 6 months ago. And he said, but I'm trying to get my life together. I looked at him, my heart broken. I said, son, I'm sorry to hear all that. I looked at him, I said, if you ain't going to church nowhere, why don't you come over to the church? Standing there all tattooed up, had one on his neck, on his arm. This is what he said. He looked at me and he said, preacher, I can't. He said, I got all these tattoos and stuff. I got all this stuff. He said, I can't come, preacher. I grabbed him around the neck and I cried. And I said, boy, don't you even think like that. I said, our people ain't like that. I said, I got news for you. I know you've the scars of sin. You can't do anything about that. But I said, if you'll come, I'm going to tell you about a God that's going to give you a new body one day. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad, praise God, at the Lord's table. I don't care how far down you've gone in sin. I don't care how scarred you are by the world. I'm glad the salvation that Jesus gives, hallelujah, can reach into the gutter. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, welcome. Welcome to Waffle House. Welcome to the Lord's table. Amen. Not only did they get a welcome at the table, but they found some warmth there. They've been in that boat all night out there on the water, cold, and all of a sudden they get to shore, and somebody done built a fire. I like it when the Lord cooks, he builds a fire to do it with. Amen. Now, I've built a few man-made fires, and we've all been guilty of doing that in our churches. We'll start a man-made fire, but it takes a whole lot of work to keep a man-made fire going. After a while, people get tired of cutting wood and throwing logs on it. Amen. But I'll tell you, if the Lord starts the fire, you don't have to worry about it keeping going. He can keep the fire going. Hallelujah to his. Hear them old boys, they drug in Peter soaking wet, and all of a sudden there's a good warm fire. I'm glad you find warmth at the Waffle House too. What do you mean, preacher? Them waitresses at the Waffle House tickle me to death. They'll come up and they'll say, hey, sugar, what you going to have tonight? Hey, sweetheart, you going to have a sweet tea? You want a Coke? I was actually stopped at one coming back from Churchill, Tennessee, one night after a meeting. I'm sitting there getting ready to order, and this old gal walked up and looked at me and said, hey, baby, what you going to have? I said, baby? I said, it's been a long time since anybody called me baby. Those are terms of affection. They're showing you love at the Waffle House. I went home and told my wife, I said, you're going to have to pick up your game. I said, them old gals at the Waffle House have done called me sugar and sweetie and baby. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, that at the Lord's table. Hey, we're living in a cold, bitter world. We're living in a dog-eat-dog society. Don't seem like, I mean, have you ever seen the anger and the rage that we're experiencing even in our own nation? But I'm glad, praise God, when you pull up to his table, hallelujah, I'm glad there's a warmth there that only the love of Jesus Christ can give. Hallelujah to his name. There's the welcome to the table and the warmth that you find there. And then number three, there's the wonder of the Lord's table. The Bible said they got to shore. What is it they've been looking for all night and ain't got none of it? Fish. Now, they didn't get to shore and Jesus have venison on the fire. He had exactly what they'd been looking for on the table. I got news for you. If you come to the Lord's table, whatever it is you're looking for, you can find it there. That's another reason I like the Waffle House. I'm a breakfast. I love breakfast. I can eat it any time of the day. Now, you can't just walk in any restaurant at 10 o'clock at night and get breakfast. But you can at Waffle House. Oh, I'm telling you what. But you know what? Not everybody might want breakfast. You might want a hamburger. They got that too. Somebody said, have you got a steak? Yeah, we got that too. What about a bowl of chili? Sure have. Got that too. Praise God. Whatever you're hungry for, they can come up with it. I'm glad, praise God, whatever you're hungry for tonight, I'm glad the Lord has it at his table, and he's got a plenteous supply of it tonight, amen. I thought about that there Waffle House. They got their own language at Waffle House. Kind of like the church. I was in there one night, and I love that there all-star breakfast. Eggs over medium, bacon crispy, hash browns, and that big old waffle with big gob of butter on it and pour enough syrup on it to almost jump in and swim. and a hot cup of coffee. Is there anyone around here? Praise God. Amen. Amen. But they, when you order them hash browns, them girls will holler out something like this. I need one scattered, chunked, covered, and smothered. And I'm going, what in the world are they talking about? They know what they're talking about. That's kind of like when sinners walk through the house of God doors and we're hollering amen and hallelujah and glory. And they're looking around and said, what in the world are they talking about? But I got to thinking about that. I said, there was a day when my life was a scattered mess. But thank God I chunked my pride. Jesus covered me with his blood. And he's been smothering me with his grace ever since. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad I found what I was looking for at the table of the Lord. Amen. Found what I was looking for. I've never come to the Lord's table and left without my need being met. There's the wonder of the Waffle House. And then last of all, I'm going to give you this. There's the word of the Lord's table. What's the word, preacher? This is what I like about it. When they got to shore, of course, he's got breakfast on the coals. He says, come and dine, but he didn't stop there. He looked at them and said, bring of the fish that you've now caught. You see, he said, you boys have something to bring to the table too. I feel like we've been missing this for a long time in most of our churches. I go places, and I try to help everybody where I go, but I go places and they say, well, preacher, we ain't got this. We ain't got that. We don't have a piano player, or we don't have nobody who can drive the church van. We don't have a lot of things here. And my mind always goes to that community around them, wonder how many sinners around that place has the ability to play that instrument. Wonder how many sinners around that place has the ability to feel that. You see, we've always stood back and we've called to the lost world, come down here, we got what you need. Yeah. And all the while we've missed the very idea that they may have something they can bring to the table too. We just had an old boy come to our church, him and his little family. He'd lived a scarred life, and just a young boy. But I was in my study in between Sunday school and preaching one Sunday morning. I heard a knock on my office door, and it was one of my deacons. He said, preacher, said, this boy needs to talk to you. And this young man, he's about, I guess he's about 24 years old, got a little child, and his wife's expecting another one. And he was weeping uncontrollably. I said, come in here, boy, sit down. What's wrong? Had a few tattoos on his arms. He's weeping uncontrollably. He said, preacher, I need something. He said, my life's a mess. He said, I've messed my life up. He said, I've scarred my body up. He said, preacher said, I can't be a good dad. I can't be a good husband. I just need something. I said, I know what you need. You just need to be saved. I mean, he was a blubber, and so I couldn't hardly get him to calm down enough for me to talk to him. Finally, he said, you're right. That's what I need. And we just bowed right there in my study, and the old boy got saved gloriously. Come up there with one of them there. Glad I'm hell-proof saved. Yeah. Smiles on his face. And the old boy, I mean, just excited to be saved. A couple of services after that, I looked up there and some of them boys up there picking guitars, seen the old boy walk up there talking to him. And in the minute I saw him, one of them handed him a guitar and he's standing there strumming. I walked up, I said, man, I didn't know you played the guitar. He said, yeah, I play a little bit. I said, man, that's great. I said, you got it. He said, I got a little old guitar, but it ain't much good. One of the boys that's here last night, his brother was a preacher that played the guitar and went on to heaven. And that old boy's standing there, and the Holy Ghost touched his heart. Said, won't you give him the man of God's guitar? Won't you give him the man of God? He ain't needing it where he's at. And it's just a keepsake to you. Yeah. Won't you give that boy that just got saved with tattoos on his arm, give him that guitar that your brother played. And that little boy come to church. He said, preacher, God laid on my heart to give my brother Robbie's guitar. to Cody. That old boy looked like he'd give him $1 million. I'm talking about, I said, now you bring that thing. When they get up there to play at the choir, you get up there and play. And man, he was over there, and a couple of Sunday nights ago, we was there, and Brother Colton that played piano for us last night, the kid's a fantastic piano player. We were playing for the offering. I said, get something up tempo. And Colton started on I'll Fly Away, and he had it about 3 times faster than what it normally goes. I'm talking about he had it in the wind. It was so bad that we got to laughing. I got to laughing. It was so, because I looked over there, and that old boy standing over our son, and he's wearing that guitar out just like this right here. And I just about had a shouting spell. I said, praise God, we had something he needed. But thank God, I'm glad them sinners got something they can bring to the table too. Hallelujah to his name. Aren't you glad if they'll just come to the Lord's table? I'm glad it can help them. See, when I go to the Waffle House, I got something to bring to the table too. I always leave them a good tip. I hope you do. I hope you don't just leave a track and don't leave them a tip. Amen. Matter of fact, you're going to leave a track, leave a good tip. Let them think that, hey, I might want to be a Christian if them people's like that right there. Amen. But I know some of y'all, you've been tipping God a long time, and so it's a little hard for you to do more than a tip. Praise God. Just about killed a meeting right there, right at the end. Amen. Can I say to you, I'm glad the Lord's table spread tonight. He's still saying, come and dine. Ain't you glad for the day, Pete, that he said, Pete, you got a place at the table. Come on up here, boy. Ain't you glad for the day that you saw what he had for you? You said, I ain't deserving it. You see, when you get to the table, he'll go talking to you about stuff, too. He called Peter aside, and he said, Peter, I need to talk to you now private. You've done been sitting at my table. Do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, I need you to feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, I need you to feed my lambs. I'm glad when you come to the table, not only can you bring something to the table, but the Lord will give you something else to do when you get there. I don't know about you. Sure would be nice if the church would be like Waffle House. Father, I thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, all. Lord, we'd be what you'd have us to be. Lord, there are sinners out there tonight that just need help and hope. Father, I pray, would you help our churches that there might be places where welcomes are given to those who are in need. Lord, may they feel true, genuine warmth and love from God as they enter our doors. And Father, I pray that when they get there, Lord, would you let them see the wonder of your table. That, Lord, whatever they're lacking, you've got it. And, Lord, whatever their need is, it is supplied at your table. And, Father, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Preacher, you come tonight. Bless you, preacher.